Welcome, everybody, to Spiritual Raw Truths. I am Jacqueline Shablowski, and I'm a board member of the Antonia Maria Foundation, and we have Antonia with us. Antonia, can you tell us who you are?
I am Antonia Montalvo, and I'm the founder of the Antonia Maria Foundation.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us. This is our initial podcast that we are starting, and we look forward to doing many more. Antonia and I have met on many spiritual levels and look forward to the future of meeting on many different paths that our lives bring us. So we both are just going to use this time to simply talk about where both of us are at this time and place, and give it to you raw, give you the truth. What is my truth? What is Antonia's truth? And right before we started the podcast, we were talking about shame and, visiting that shame and being in that space. I know for myself, shame has been a reoccurring place that I visit, and sometimes consciously, sometimes unconsciously. I think being more conscious and aware of how I live on a daily basis, I can pinpoint it quicker now. Sometimes it takes longer, but when we start living in our truth, right? Antonia and I were talking about this earlier, which is you start living in your truth and you have this voice inside of you. And when it's a small voice, you know, it's that little nudge of telling you that this is where you are right now and you've got to do something about it. And if you don't listen to that little voice, it starts to get bigger. And then now it's talking rather loudly to you and it's nudging you to do something different, right? You have to address this. And if you don't address it at that level, it's going to start screaming at you. And that's when you have fallouts. That's when you end up in some really terrible places in your life. I mean, I know Antonia and I have both been there, and we share those journeys in many similar ways of getting to that space and being in a space where now whatever the truth that we've been ignoring is screaming at us. And it's disrupted not only our lives, but it's disrupted the lives of those around us. And getting out of that space is much more difficult than when you listen to the truth that's just nudging you and talking softly and silently to you, but you know it and you feel it and being in touch with that space within yourself. So, talking about shame, I mean, Antonia, jump right in whenever you want to jump in.
Well, that's the thing. You have this voice inside of you and this silent voice, but all around you, it's like everything is so loud. And it's like, you know, for example, I just emailed everyone yesterday that I'm going to take 2 weeks off. And it took me almost, I would say, 4 or 5 months to get there. I ignored the signs. I didn't listen because it's embarrassing to say I need a pause. It's embarrassing to say I need time to take and spend with God. It's not something common. You don't get sick days for saying I need a day to spend with God. You know, work is not going to pay you if you say, oh, you know, I'm having this spiritual feeling that I need to, you know, sit home today and pray all day. Like, you're not going to be honored for that.
Right. Call your boss and say, hey, I need to sit in my feelings today. Yeah, you'd be like, get your butt back to work.
And in order for me to perform at a better rate, I need to whatever. So it's become so common to say I'm sick or lie or create sickness. We create sickness, we'll create illness so that we can get that space. And what I was telling you, for me, I'm a woman in recovery. I'll have 5 years July 8th. Like, all of the times that I took for myself had to become dramatic. I had to go to rehab. I had to go to psych wards. And I told Jacqueline today, like, I don't want to do that. I want to be in my truth and I want to be honest. And I want to be able to say I need time to sit with God. And I feel that call. You know, I feel that call of silence, that feel of disconnect, and that feel of walking into the kingdom, walking into God's kingdom and sitting down with him and listening to his voice. And it took me a long time because I was embarrassed. I was like, what are people going to think of me? Like, what, you know, because I've already, as much as I've awakened, I still have that little girl inside of me that's afraid and ashamed to show her bright, bright light that she is. You know, it comes up. So that was one situation there for me where there was a lot of shame, you know, and a fear of judgment, fear of what everyone was going to think. Like, what are they going to say? Oh, this girl needs to go sit with God, right? You know, like, what is she saying? But I'm grateful that, you know, I find the people around me that are like-minded, which is really important too.
Absolutely. I mean, look, you know, so, when you sent that email last night, I said to you earlier, immediately when I read it, it was like, I'm so happy for you. You know, it was a space of like, oh, who is she to take some time off? You know, that wasn't even a thought that even crossed my mind. And it's super important to be around like-minded individuals, because instead what I did was, and I told you this earlier, was I was sending you healing energy. And I was so proud that you've taken that, you know, and you have things going on in your life right now, all beautiful things, you know, transpiring and about to transpire. Mm. So it's important to take that time for ourselves. And so for some people who are listening, you know, may or may not know why we do the things we do and why we operate, right? So I just wanted to touch on that, which was, you know, there's a lot of like generational narratives that are happening, right? You know, then there's societal demands, right? Mm. So we have to work harder. We have to work more. We have to sleep less. We have to do all of the time in order to be successful. And the truth is, people often ask me, like, why are you so successful in the things that you do? And it's not because I'm running from one place to the next and this and that and this and that. And sometimes I have to, because the situation calls for it. Absolutely. But for me, it's because I'm listening to my truth and I'm being authentic in what I'm doing. And when I'm living in that space, it opens up more for you to do, right? So, Antoni, what do you think? What are some other, you know, societal demands or generational narratives that make us behave in that manner?
Oh, like even the concept of being in your heart, right? And someone hurts you and your heart's broken. Your heart's not broken. Your ego's broken. Your mind's broken. Your past experiences are broken. Your shattered mirror of what you thought life was supposed to be is broken. The little girl that wanted to recreate her mom and dad's broken marriage is broken.
Yes.
You know, that's broken. Yes. Not the heart.
The image, the illusion.
So many things. And that's where the shame comes in, because it's like your heart is like, wants to do something else, but everything else around you on the outside is saying, oh no, that's wrong. Well, that's you're not supposed to be like this. No, he broke your heart. No, she hurt you. She betrayed you. No, no, no. And then that other piece of you, that silent voice that you talk about, is just saying, it's like none of that stuff. It's none of that stuff really, it doesn't even exist. Mm-hmm. What exists is the pure love and essence of your true nature, of who we are, you know? Everything in life doesn't happen to you. It happens for you. Mm, we come from a society where everything happens to us.
Yes.
And because everything has to happen to us, then we have to create another system because it's happening to us. Right. So now we have to put another system and another system and another ideal and another philosophy, and we have to create another program, and we have to create another system because everything is happening to us.
Right.
And when we try to go against that grain, for people like myself, you, and other people that we know, It creates, you know, you feel, I think for me, you know, is what I'm feeling now is I'm growing. And I hear that in our call. And it's not common where a lot of people are like, oh, like I said before, oh, my shaman's calling me, the Native Americans. Oh, I see, you know, visions. My spirit animal's talking to me. I need to talk to it. I'll call you right back. We don't have those conversations.
Right. It's not okay to talk like that in normal, whatever normal is, right?
We're all thoughts.
Yeah.
We're just our thoughts, and instead of listening to the truth of our hearts, you know, and that's where the miracles happen. You really can transform your life and your heart. You can transform people around you. But when you're in concepts and you're in logic, you know, they always say in society that your mind is the most powerful thing. No, your heart is the most powerful thing. Mm-hmm. That's where healing occurs. That's where the truth lies. And it's learning how to silence that and connect it there. So, you know, that itself. So right there, like that whole thing of like your heart is broken and this person broke your heart and that person did that to you and that, and you know, that alone for me creates shame. Then I start thinking I'm stupid. Why am I with this person? Why am I doing this? Why am I talking to this person? Why am I here? Oh, she shouldn't be doing that. Oh, she shouldn't be doing that. I don't want to live like that.
Right. Because that's all just part of the illusion, right? And part of it, I think, for me, most of the time is And you know, this is like my thing with the ice princess thing going on, is the vulnerability.
I'll burn you. The other side of me is like,
and I'll be stoic as anything. I'll just sit there like, burn me, baby.
She's got to teach me to work with that fire because it gets hot up in here.
You know, I, you know, when we first had that conversation about like me being an ice queen and stuff and using that, you know, to my advantage, yeah, in a sense, you know, I've always known, it's like thinking about prior to recovery for me, right? Like there was a good period of time. I almost like don't even know that woman, but I know that woman prior to, yeah, recovery, right? Where I would sit, it's just this funny story, is just I would sit in Atlantic City at the casinos, and I played poker and I played hold'em, and I was so good at having this poker face, you know, and I won a lot of money. Like I've seen a lot of money, you know, during that. And like, that was using it to my advantage. Right. I mean, not necessarily in a really spiritual sense, but going back to what I was saying is that we're also taught not to be vulnerable, right? And then when we do open up our heart space to others and they abuse that, right? Or I shouldn't even say abuse, they misuse it. And I do recognize when somebody's misusing it, it's because something inside of them. It really had nothing, yeah, to do with me, right? We're going back to like the ego and the illusion that they've created for themselves and all, yeah, of that. But it's still, for me, most of the time, it throws me right into like that space of the story, the illusion, right? And all of everything that, you know, society wants me to be, or the chatter from everybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, he did this to you, so you shouldn't be with him, or, you know, mm-hmm, like all of that.
You're better than him. You deserve better.
You deserve better.
So much better. The I, which is the ego, you know, right. I. And really, it's I have to stay safe. You know, your, right, capacity to love is beyond any of that story and any of that stuff. You know, it's just, it's beyond.
Which brings it also to like everything is disposable, you know, in the society that we live in. You know, marriage, let's just talk about marriage for a second, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and this is something that I've been working on. I was telling you just earlier. Something I have been working on is, you know, when I got married, for me, marriage meant something else. It meant no matter what, right? No matter what it meant to me. And that was broken for me, right? It was my image, right, that I had towards it. But yeah, I carry on that shame still sometimes, yeah, from it, and that ideology that I had around it, right? And that child is still sitting there and heard about it, right?
I'm in that too. It's the image that got broken. The person who would say, I would never experience that again because that hurt me and my mom. And it's like, it's the image of it. It's the piece of me that, you know, like, it's crazy. You know, yes, a lot of us are just playing roles, and I'm married and we play roles. Mm-hmm. You know, you start to see like you're repeating your mom, you're repeating your, mm-hmm, this, you're repeating that. And, you know, you want to do this because you want to make sure that doesn't happen like that. And it's a lot of like, you know, role playing.
Right. Well, I think we do a lot of role playing. I read an article or something a long time ago, or something on like Facebook, where it was like this guy and he was talking about his marriage, and they'd been married for like some ridiculously long amount of time, like let's just say like 60 years or something, right? And he goes, what? And so of course people always ask, what was the secret to your marriage? He goes, I loved my wife, every single one of them. You know,
there are.
And I believe what he truly meant was all the roles that we take on during the marriage, right? Because different times call for different roles, and that's just part of being human. I truly believe it. But also he did talk about the transformation, right? Because you're always evolving. So the woman I am today is definitely not the woman I was a year ago.
And the pain comes out. And then when you see your partner, see, that's the thing about pain, is it masks itself as if the person's doing something to you, and it's not about you.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing about I have to say about my husband and I, we start to learn, like, I don't take it personal. It's not about me.
Right.
If he starts, like, you know, acting like, you know, I used to care. Oh, he's not talking to me. He comes home and he just goes on the TV or he's on his phone. It's not about me. You know, he's trying to get through his childhood wounds. He's trying to process his emotions. He's trying to process his pain. But we're not taught to do that, right? We go to a psychiatrist. They say, well, he's gaslighting you, or that's abuse. And it's like, just don't give it those names. Let it be.
Right.
You know, stay in yourself. Stay close to God and stay focused on whatever you believe. For me, it's Christ. And stay focused on him and everything transforms.
Right.
It's amazing what happens. But we're not taught that, you know? Mm. We're taught that if my husband yells at me, he's abusive.
Right. And I mean, I just want to say as like a disclaimer, like there are many abusive men out there and you should not stay in unsafe situations, right? So there's a difference there, right? But but so very quickly, a lot of people want to jump into that, like, oh, you know, he's not treating you well because this is what he does, X, Y, and Z. And it's not that at all. You know, when I come home, I just want to unwind for a bit. You know?
Yeah.
And I just want to sit in my space, get comfortable. Maybe that means like just scrolling on my phone for a while or whatever that looks like for somebody, right? And we are their safe space at home. You know, I'll compare my daughter to this, right? When she comes home from her father's house, I call that first day her transition day, you know?
Yeah.
Because she comes home and she needs to unload everything. So I'm getting all of those not so pretty parts of her and I'm letting her have her feelings and giving that safe space. So my question is like, why did we get away from that? Right. Like where we're not supposed to allow somebody. I think in my opinion, a relationship should be where you offer that safe space for somebody to do that inner wound that they have. Right. The childhood wounds or whatever it is that's going on. And a lot of people look at it like it's not OK.
I feel like, and I'm not trying to say, because look, I'm a woman who's been sexually abused. I've been physically abused. I've come from a lot of stuff, violence. Like I'm not trying to say that stuff, if you're in an abusive relationship or absolutely, but the less you give that stuff power, it dies.
Yes.
And I think as a society, what has happened is we give it like addiction. We've given it so much power to the point where it's like we've gotten stuck, you know, and we're not curing anybody anymore. It's the same system over and over. It's become insanity. You go into rehab, you check in, you see a psychiatrist, they give you meds, you go into a group room, you do this. It's just... I don't know how to explain it.
I know exactly what you're trying to say. And I'll use
I'm not trying because it's hard. When you come in from being sexually abused, you come in like it's hard to say that that's not the person's fault or your fault, but you have to take your power back. If you keep sitting in those concepts of I've been abused, I'm a victim, you know, I'm a victim, I'm a victim of this, I'm a victim, I'm a, you know,
then it's like defines you.
Grow, and then you keep attracting that shit.
Yes, it defines you. Absolutely. It defines you, and the energy, the energy you keep putting out is going to just keep attracting to you. I mean, I'll give a perfect example of that. Like when I used to go, you know, to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, there came a point in time in my recovery where sitting there and saying, hi, my name is Jacqueline and I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. I was staying stuck in that story. I'm not an alcoholic anymore. I am a woman. I am powerful. I am loved. Mm-hmm. I am loving. I am. I am so many other things than an alcoholic. And I understand, like, I need to be reminded of that somehow. But for some people it may, but for me, like, I know what I did. I'm conscious and I'm aware of what has transpired in my life. But if I keep talking about the same things all of the time, that is who I'm going to be. That is what, I mean, it's the law of attraction.
And it's this vicious cycle. You go into a room, you talk about your story again, then you talk about your story again, and it just gets louder, and it suppresses, and it goes in your bones and your joints, and your stomach hurts, and you get headaches, and everything around you just doesn't work out. And, you know, how about instead of I'm a victim, I'm like a victor of my life, and transforming that so you don't get into those relationships again. You know, I know that for me, like, the less, like, I'm in that story, the less I'm going to attract drama, the less I'm going to attract negative people. You know, I attracted somebody in my life last year, and I was in despair. And now I know why that person came into my life, you know? But it's just the stories we tell ourselves. We have to get out of the story and create new narratives. And there's shame around that because we're taught, like, a certain way to be.
Right.
You know? Right. Culturally, society, politically, then you meet friends, you really like your friend, and then your friend starts to have their views, and then you want to, like, you know, you don't want to lose them, and then you get relationships, and then this, and then you're at school, and the kids, and the teachers, and the moms, and you just want to be liked, and it's like, you know, patterns.
Right. I mean, imagine a world where I know you're raising your son and I'm raising my daughter in this sense of, like, living in your truth, right? Like, you don't need the validation. You don't need to live in ego, right? Now imagine what a transformed world we would have if more people did conscious parenting, right? Like, you know, we often talk about, like, our kids watch YouTube videos and then they mimic that behavior, right?
Yeah, that's what we do.
And that's right. You know, like, that's what we do. And for you and I, who are conscious and aware of these things, you know, it really disturbs us on some level when we see our children doing that, because I can only imagine she's in school and she wants to be a part of the cool group, or she wants to be included in something, you know, and like, so instead of fostering, like, like spiritual awareness and fostering our truth, instead we're being being in our truth and fostering that truth, right?
Yeah.
And it's hard to foster that truth when people are telling us otherwise. I mean, look how, you know, it took you a couple of months to finally get to the space to be like, hey, I need to take 2 weeks off. 2 weeks off is like nothing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And yet, like, I'm speaking we because I do the same thing, which is, you know, like, I used to, and still this sometimes happens, when I get sick and I'm laying in bed, like, with a fever or, excuse my French, like, shitting my brains out, right?
Yeah.
I'm like,
You feel guilty.
And I'm like, what world am I living in?
Crohn's disease, literally pouring blood from the area, picking up the phone. Hello?
Right?
Yes.
I mean, it's madness. It's madness. And, like, so where is that coming from? And we know where it's coming from, but I guess, like, how do we implement?
Because we're taught we have to perform. We're all performers, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And if we don't perform, then, you know.
Absolutely. It's just all one big performance, 100%.
Yeah. It is.
For most. I think that, you know, even you and I, who are so, you know, aligned in so many ways, you know, when you and I talked this morning and we were like, and you were telling me about the visions, and I was like, well, why didn't you just tell me, you know? And it's like, and even there, like, in what I believe to be a very safe space between you and I, and I'll reaffirm that, like, it is an incredibly healing, safe, non-judgmental space that you and I we are in, still there's, like, that those stories that want to come up, right? And, like, maybe I shouldn't, and it's stemming from somewhere else, but so there's that, like, performance that happens, you know. And look, I'm not going to say that we can't perform, because a lot of the time we do have to perform, right? Like, when I go to work, I have to perform a certain way. I have to live by society's standards, and trust me, there are many times I come home completely depleted, because I know that I've given all of that energy to it, and I'm not happy with it, and my truth is suffering and my gifts are suffering from it, because I have to perform in that way. But we live in this world, and so it is what it is, right? Like, I wish I could live like you're a shaman who, like, you know, just sits all day.
I have to say that. If I didn't have to come back, I'd be doing that. If I didn't have, I'm not, I love my son, but if I didn't have him, I'd be doing that right now. And I think the thing is learning the mask and learning how to put them on and step in and step out of them and learning, like, being aware of what you're consciously doing, like, with pure intention. But learning all those masks, learning your shadows, learning how to dance with it, learning how to dance with your mask. Because then you could see other people's, and it doesn't feel as painful when you're like, oh, shit, you know, this person just did this. But I think it's like, you know, learning those masks. Don't become them,
right?
But learning them, because we have to use them. I know for me, being a founder of a nonprofit, an owner of a sober living, another sober living coming, you know, I find it very difficult to ask for money. I'm ashamed.
Right.
Even though I know I do the...
Oh, we lost you for a second. Yeah. Go ahead.
Even though I know I'm doing the right thing, I feel ashamed. I feel like people are like, oh, well, she has, you know, her family must have. What is she doing asking for money? But it's embarrassing for me. It's hard. That's probably the hardest thing of it. So instead of asking for help, I have so much shame that I just use my own money.
Right.
All of my own money.
Right.
And that can't sustain. It can't sustain like that. It's not going to sustain like that because of my ego and my fear and my shame of reaching out for help. It's been a huge block for me, a huge block. And I don't want to share what I do. I'm ashamed to share what I do. I don't want people to say, oh, look at her posting everything that she does every day. You know, it's difficult for me. I mean, I do a lot and I don't say anything to anybody because I'm ashamed. I don't want people to think like, oh, she's showing off. She does this. She does that. Why is she doing that? It's supposed to come from her heart. You're not supposed to show what you do for other people. You know, that whole,
right.
That's a societal view of serving and giving.
Right. Right. And then, so like, I can't help but thinking like, I've been in those situations myself, right? Where there's a lot of shame around something. So like implementing something that I've implemented and I say all the time is I have to get really, really uncomfortable to get comfortable with it. So in the moment that I really don't want to ask for money in your situation, ask for money. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because then it starts to, you're taking away the power from that shame in that moment. Yeah. You know, and you shouldn't have shame. What you do is beautiful. The lives that you're changing, the women that you're helping heal, you're all healing together. I mean, for God's sakes, it's together we heal, you know, and it couldn't be any better than that. It's the truth, you know, and yet like, yeah, we're, you know, you sit there and you're like, well, I'm going to be judged for all of these things. And it's just, it's absurd, right? It's absurd.
I know, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. And I think it's like, I don't know. I don't know if it's, and I'm happy to share this because I'm being vulnerable right now. And it's coming out, stuff that I didn't even realize was still inside of me. But I think like there's the part of me that little voice connected to other people, like, you know, people who said no, people who judged. And I think I like absorbed that, you know, and it's time to let it go. Because I can't do it by myself. Like I said, there's a seed that's been planted, but it needs to be watered and all roots come out of it. And, you know, there's going to be women that like you and, you know, Renee and Laura and Sheila and, you know, Destiny and all the women that are going to show up or that are going to see what this is all about. You know, I also feel shame. Like I can't provide salaries or I can't provide insurance. You know, there's shame there because that's what seems like everyone's life is about. Like I'll do that, but you need to give me this or I need to get paid for this or, you know, it's like,
right.
But I have to get past that.
Yeah. You have to get past it. And that's the truth. I mean, when people,
you guys all in, so that's first step, you know,
but
it's all God, Jesus, like you're stepping back, you're letting other people in, like it's all part of it, you know?
You know, someone just wrote something to me on my LinkedIn because I, you know, posted, you know, which I should have done this a month or so ago about, you know, being on the board with Antonia Maria Foundation. And I'm not sure if I can get to it, but he's a very dear spiritual accomplice, shall I say, acquaintance of mine. No, I love this man very much. I love his soul is what I'm saying. And he wrote, when you're immersed in your true calling, The flow of destiny takes you to such wonderful places. Congrats, Jacqueline. You are doing so well, mate. And that's the truth. And so what you're doing and continuously doing, right? I was attracted to you from the very beginning. The timing was off for us for a few reasons, right? But I was attracted to what you were doing because I felt what you were doing. Maybe not everybody can feel what you're doing instantly like I did, but when they get to know you or the foundation or what's transpiring, you know, and I'm not just talking about the foundation in general, about anyone in any situation in their life, right? Like if you're living in your truth,
yeah,
it just starts to flow and things will happen. And the only person standing in our way is ourselves.
It's ourselves. And that's why today with that soul retrieval, it was like, there was no calling back in from addiction, or it was myself. It was just me seeing myself and being like, oh my God, it's just me.
Yep.
It's all part of God's plan, you know. In order for me to open up, I have to let more people in. I have to see that piece, and I got to get uncomfortable.
Which is really difficult for women like us who have been abused and have certain traumatic experience, right? That, you know, letting somebody in, I know that's one of my most difficult tasks is letting somebody into my life. I'm very protective over, specifically now, you know, I'm very protective over... Sorry, you hear the kid and the cat in the background over there.
Okay.
I'm very protective over my space, and rightfully so in so many ways, right? But that's also going to stop me. That's us. Chloe?
She's being annoying.
Okay, you need to walk out of the kitchen. Thank you.
She's making up her food.
Okay. So it's also going to stop me, right? And, you know, in particular, I have one situation right now where... You know, it's I'm getting in my own way of things, right? I can't get past certain parts of my own stories and illusions that I've created. And so that's what will happen. But if I just flow with it, beautiful things will come. And it's not to say that those beautiful things aren't going to be hard. They're going to be hard. I mean,
so hard.
So hard. So hard, so and you're going to look at it and think it's ugly, and why is this happening, and why me, and why to me, and like all that stuff is going to transpire.
Can't sleep, you go and you're like, how could, but then there's that part of you that pulls you spiritually. It's like, no, this is the right way, you know, it is to love, to forgive,
yes,
to accept.
Yeah.
But we're not taught that.
No.
And that's what we talked about in the beginning. Like, if you're with someone that does something that's mean to you or something, we'll say mean to you, you know, and you choose to forgive that person, everyone's like, what are you doing? Huh? I remember my mom and everyone, man, what are you doing with him? What are you, you know, it's like, it's a slippery slide.
Yeah. It's hard because you want to already believe those stories yourself. And then when somebody's cheering you on to believe it, you know, it's really hard to get out of that space for yourself. But, you know, I had this feeling earlier today. Not just today. It's been for a while. I've been having this feeling of truth within myself. And it's almost like, you know, I've been telling it to shut up. I don't want to hear you.
Of course.
You know, I don't want to hear you. Because on the outside, in this illusion, it looks really good. It's stable. It's great. And yes, and like it's acceptable and all of that. But on the inside, it's like, this doesn't feel good.
Mm-mm.
And I know what love feels like. And I think that I think that people, you know, are like, but I don't know how to listen. I don't know how to trust myself in that gut, you know, feeling that I have, so on and so forth. You listen to love. You know what love means. You know what love looks like.
Yeah, and it's in the soul. And my husband has taught me so many things, too. It's like, I remember going through a time with him where he was a little bit, you know, shut down intimately. And I used to take it so personally. And he looked at me and said, is that all our relationship is based off of? Like, you can't love me. Like, that's how you're defining our relationship. There's no definitions here.
Right.
You know, so he had a lot of stuff going on with work, and I kept saying, oh, he's not touching, he doesn't love me, you know, and you could look, there's sex therapists, right? They'll tell you he needs to work on himself and he needs to do that. And he would just look at me like, but isn't our love bigger than that?
Right.
You know, it's just where I'm at right now. Like, it has nothing to do with you. I have so much inside that I'm like trying to go like work through.
Right.
You know, so
look at us when we're not feeling something.
He's taught me so much. It's so much more than just that. We want to plug people in. Then you watch TV. Forget it. Relationships are supposed to be like this. I'll never forget. I was watching Married at First Sight and all those doctors, and I start fighting with him. I'm like, but you don't do that. And you don't take me to dinner. And you don't, and it's supposed to be like this. And it's just like, he's looking at me like, isn't our love greater than that?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like how we, it's crazy because we accept so much from the people like our moms, but when we get in a relationship, we have a shitload of expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And so then people want to put it under my standards.
He really has. He's taught me so much and I'm so grateful. It's taught me how to surrender. It's taught me how to hear more. It's taught me how to get out of that control.
Connect with your feminine energy.
Connect with the feminine energy.
Yeah.
Surrender, allow, receive it, and then transform it, you know?
Right.
And inside of me. And when I transform, he changes. Instead of trying to make him transform.
Right.
When I change, which we're not taught that. When I change and I surrender with him myself, and I say, okay, this is not going my way, but what's going on inside of me? What do I feel triggered by? And I surrender and I come back down to center inside my heart and my soul. And I listen to my soul and I let my angels guide me. Then he comes closer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, just look at it. Yeah. Look at it from the perspective. If someone was thinking like, I am not sure I understand what she just said. I mean, look at it from the perspective of a child. And I'm not saying your husband's a child by any means. I'm saying, though,
all little children.
Yes, we are all little children. But look at it from the perspective of my child, my daughter, models the behavior that I am an example of, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many times when she's seen me meditating, she'll come and sit next to me and sit silent with me. Which, if you know my kid, she doesn't sit silent.
Yeah, Luciano Taylor do the crystals. He's like, yes. Saging. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I caught her the other day. You know, she was having nightmares, and we have this beautiful dream catcher in her room that someone had made for her, and I said, you know, baby, I said maybe we haven't saged the dream catcher in a while, so let's sage it. And you know, so we start saging her room, and then she's, you know, she's got it in her hand, and then she goes over there to the dream catcher, and she starts having her own intentions with the dream catcher. And she watches me do that. She's been watching me do that for a couple of years now. You know, so like, it's just the modeling of the behavior. You can't expect somebody to, I can't tell her like, go do this.
And that's true.
And expect her to do it.
It's the same thing in a relationship. They start modeling you.
Yes.
They surrender.
When they can feel they have the safe space to do it. Yes.
It says it in the Bible. The sanctified wife purifies the husband or vice versa.
Mm.
I'm a witness to it.
Amen.
I can tell you without getting into story. My husband did it for me, and I've done it for my husband. We went through a lot together. We have grown so much love and respect and appreciation. You grow through what you go through. You don't grow unless you go through some hard shit.
Right.
And come out with the teachings of God, you know? And you always have to have that space in between you because it's not personal. It has nothing to do with you.
No.
You know, I know infidelity is hard, but it has nothing to do with you. It's not about you.
Right. Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of things, you know? And, you know, we've grown so much. So, so much.
Absolutely. And it can be applied to, you know, any relationship.
Anything.
Yeah. It truly is. I mean, we feel the same feelings. So a situation may be different, right? But we feel the same feelings of betrayal. We feel the same things. And it's just... it's hard and it's not easy. But when you do realize, right, one of the four agreements, don't take anything personally. I mean, I was
and
such...
don't make assumptions. That happens in marriages.
Yes.
And
oh, we lost
them right there. They say, you know, like, if you don't, if you're, and the whole thing about commute, like, okay, the last thing, because this is important, communication. Some people don't communicate. My husband is not a communicator with his tongue. He's a communicator. If you listen, he's a his energy communicates. Right. And I have to learn his language. He's not a communicator. Like, with voice, he's a communicator silently.
Mm-hmm.
You just listen. So mm-hmm. it teaches me how to... See, the easy thing would to be, you don't communicate with me, go freak yourself, I fucking hate you, you know, like go back and forth or whatever, or say he's not doing this, I don't deserve that, and I've been there.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there, but that's selfish.
Right.
And today I want to live in, I don't want to be ashamed of being in the virtues of God and learning how to listen with my heart. And when you listen to your heart, whether he's talking or not, you'll hear him.
Well, you're tuning into your heart frequency, right?
Yes.
And you're tuning into his heart frequency. You may not know the map of his interior, right? But you've tuned in. And I think that's where the disconnect is in every single, you know, relationship, is that when you tune in to that heart frequency, which you have done and he has done with you, you feel each other.
But there's so much pain, ladies and gentlemen, suffering.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that happens with yourself. You have to experience an extreme amount of pain and suffering before you can truly know yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with partnerships. You're going to go through pain and suffering, but we live in a society where it's like, bye, up next. I'll just go on Bumble and Bumble or Zimbo, Zupo, whatever those things are called. I don't even know. I've been out of loops. So Tinder, Binder, bye.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That are truly learning how to come and show up in your Christ-like self or your holy self or your higher self or your Jesus self, or, you know,
living in the authentic heart space.
I tell you, that's why I have to step back.
Chloe, stop.
It's really hard, you know.
Sorry, it's hard. The piano. It is very, very hard, and it's not easy. And but I think that that's another thing that we've lost as a society, is that nothing worth it comes easy, you know, and we do live in such a disposable society where you're absolutely right. I mean, I'll speak for myself when things get hard and I don't like certain things, you know, and that's, and I struggle with that. Yeah. I struggle with that. It's been a part of who I am, you know, and it's a coping mechanism for me in many ways.
Of course.
You know, but it is, if it's worth it, you know, it's going to be hard and it's going to be really ugly and it's going to be painful. And you're suffering one way or another, because let me tell you something, me running from something, I still suffer. Yeah. I'm still suffering.
Yes, the foundation for me is painful, but I know that I have to stick to it. If I'm going to get success, sometimes I don't want to do it. I wake up, I don't want to do it. I wake up, I don't want to be married. I wake up, I don't want to be a mom. But I have to do it. You know, you have to pick something and just do with all your might.
Amen. I mean, look at that. I mean, the same thing. Trust me. I wake up some mornings and I'm like, I don't want to be a mom. I don't want to be this. I don't want to be some of those things, right? But I've committed.
Your daughter, don't talk to me, leave me alone.
Right. I get that. I feel that. I feel that very deeply. Trust me.
Yeah. Don't call me.
But you've committed to it and
sticking with those commitments and those friendships and really honoring them, you know? Miracles come out when you do that.
It sure does.
Trust God with all your might that He's gonna heal it. And He does.
I think one of the biggest transformations for me was because I've witnessed the miracles, because I've been a part of those miracles.
Yeah.
Then maybe we can have a whole miracle talk on another day, bring some hope and love and light. Yeah. But because I
don't want to lose anyone in our because we're having a Jacqueline and Antonia.
Well, this is going to be kind of like a Jacqueline and Antonia conversation. You're just joining in on what we deliciously talk about on our, except we probably have, anyway, there's a lot more to our conversations, but we're keeping it kind of PG for you guys. But we'll get more raw. We'll get more raw as time goes by.
When the kids go to sleep,
right? It's you'll be seeing this at a different time, but it's 5 o'clock right now. Yeah.
I'll share some stories.
But so what I was saying was that, you know, I've witnessed them and I've experienced them in my life. I, like you, have had my moment where Jesus has come to me and sat with me. And it can bring me to tears if I allow it to right now. And that was the biggest transformation. One of the biggest transformations for me was that, like, God will handle it. You know,
always.
Like, so there, it never says, like, sometimes or if you're good, you love, like, there are no, it's an unconditional love. And I think.
You just got to step out of the way.
Yes.
And look at us. I don't want to cut you off, but I keep, like, I'm seeing the vision of me and you, right? We had a situation. It wasn't the right timing. I sat in a meditation. All of a sudden, you come to me, and I feel it's not even my. I don't know. It was an ancestor spirit. It felt like God, right? I mean, it sounds crazy. It's like you have to call Jacqueline. Yeah, I'm like, I haven't talked to this girl in months. Like, what are you saying? You know? And look, I called.
Yeah.
I was like, hello. You were like, I was just thinking of you. I was like, yeah. I said, I saw you in my meditation. You're like, I saw you in my meditation.
Yeah.
That's the essence of living.
You can't make that stuff up. You really can't. Like,
no.
I don't know how. I mean, like, I wish I can just. Yeah. You know.
And then wait, guys. It's not done. So now I'm sitting at lunch with her, and she's with me, and I get a call from the doctor that I'm pregnant with. Out of all people, I wasn't with my husband. I wasn't with my son, I wasn't with my mother, and we cried. And that part wasn't even about the baby, it was a release.
Yeah.
Yeah. A cleansing on our behalf.
We prayed together. Know? It was
whatever we needed to clear. God took it in that moment.
Yeah.
And not even between us, in our own souls, in our own worlds, you know, because that's the thing is we're our own worlds. We have to nurture those worlds. Right. You know?
Right.
So
all right. I love you. Let's close this up. So thank you everybody for joining us. And we plan on doing this on a weekly basis. So we hope you'll enjoy. It'll get saucier and wittier and more raw as time goes along. What?
We're just getting our feet wet.
We are. We're just getting our feet wet with this one. And I think it was pretty good. So I'm not going to rewatch it only to just edit and put it together because we got interrupted in the middle. But I'm letting it be. And I'm going to get out of my way. And I'm going to help us both. I'm not even going to send it to you. No, you can't listen to it. But we'll probably rip it apart if we do.
Let it flow. And comment below what things you would like us to talk about. You know?
Drop your email address so we can keep you in the loop of what we're doing. You know, share this if you can. You know, even if just one thing you think somebody else can hear, plant that seed with somebody else, you know. Share it, like, comment, drop your email so we can keep you in the loop of what we're doing. We're always creating and really trying to just continue on this journey, and we want to take this journey along with you. I'm grateful to have Antonia and be on this journey with you. I mean, it's just been a short period of time, and there's just so much beauty that is starting to unveil. I mean, we've gotten so many beautiful, like, godsidents at this point, you know, between you and I, which has been really great. So, yeah.
And it's hard. We see each other, and it's uncomfortable sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Yep. So thank you everybody for joining us. Much love from me, sending you healing energy, and we'll see you soon.
Bye. All right. So it shut off now.
Hold on.